Do you have a good morning?
Yes.
Excellent. Whatever you did, I'm glad it was good. Okay, I just thought, you know, especially if people are going to start wafting in. I mean, they might not, but it's so beautiful. But I'm glad you guys came in. Let's just try something. Just to get our voices warmed up. See if I can find it. Like mostly my voice, you know. So I got all this. Come on. Of course, where is it? Hold on a second. So anyway, this is a song. One of my favorite kinds of songs is call response. I mean, it's definitely one of the most common types of songs in the world because it's so community building. You know, and a lot of cultures in the world, you know, can't conceive of, you know, how big individual singing is here when it's like everything there is community song and dance. Mm-hmm. So, and I, you know, try to build some community. Plus, the nice thing about it is that there's no need, only one person needs to know the song, mm-hmm. which is amazing. Because then, you know, it's not like you have to get together and remember all the words to, you know, riding on the city of New Orleans. And it's like, oh, what was the next one? So you just have one person responsible. And then someone else can know another one. There we go. Just so I don't forget. Okay, so this song, I mean, I'm just going to give some examples during the workshop of, you know, ideas for songs that I had and kind of what came out of it. But mostly, you'll be doing things too. So this one is, a lot of times I write songs because I need one, you know? Like, I was here a couple years ago, and they were preaching on Jonah, and I was like, And they asked me if I had knew a song about Jonah or could find one, and I couldn't. So I just went, I'll just write one. So I wrote a whole song to the tune of A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. It was funny. You want to hear a little bit?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. I'm proud of it. I mean, it's ridiculous, but it made me laugh. Hold on.
And your name is?
Oh, I'm Linda. And we will go around and introduce. I'm just kind of seeing if there's any filtering in so people don't miss the... Here we go. I'll just do a little bit because, you know, it's kind of a long one. So. A man named Nautilus. A man named Jonah heard his God say, I need a big favor. Go tell those folks in Nineveh, I don't like their behavior. Jonah did not agree. So when he set to sea, he went the other way to Tarshish by the bay. He took his beach umbrella. This did not fit into God's plan. A mighty wind came rolling. The sailors cried and called their gods, but their gods all went bowling. Repenting of their sin, they threw the cargo in. The raging storm got worse, but still they did not curse, even though they were sailors. So it just goes on.
That's cute.
My favorite one is, let's see, where's the one? Well, Jonah had 3 days to think. He was not proud of what he had done. Beside the slime and powerful stink, there was the shame of how he had run. He's in the wood. To God a psalm he sang, I know I ought to hang, but you have rescued me, and I will thankful be. That's when the whale did vomit.
That's awesome.
So songwriting, man. All you do is take a song that already exists and write something. That's another easy way. So anyway, here's a song that I wrote for a thing called 1 Billion Rising. And briefly, it is a group that began in India after some really awful attacks on women. And apparently, you know, statistics are something like 1 in 6 women have had some kind of abuse in their lives. And so that's why it's 1 billion, because there's like roughly 6 billion people on the planet. And so they do a thing on Valentine's Day where you know, it's empowering women to take back their power. So I wrote this because we were going to do a little marching around a lake. And it was February 14th, and it was really cold, so I knew that I couldn't have a guitar or anything like that because it was outside. So this is what I wrote. And just a call response. Usually, you know, I might have a little drum or something like that, which I don't have. But so let's see what's a good... Sorry. There we go. So I sing something and you respond. And basically it's a song about rise up women and wake up men. So rise up women, take hold of your power. Rise up women, take hold of your power. Rise up women all over the world.
Rise up women all over the world.
Oh, stand up men for your mothers and your sisters. Stand up men
for your mothers and your sisters.
Stand up men for your daughters and your wives. Stand up men
for your daughters
and your wives. Rise up, women, turn your pain into freedom. Rise up, women, turn pain into freedom. Rise up, women, and speak your whole truth. Rise up, women, and speak your whole truth. Wake up, men, give power to your daughters. Wake up, men, give power to your daughters. Wake up, men, and educate your sons. Wake up, men, and educate your son. Oh, rise up, women, and lift up your children. Rise up, women, and lift
up your children.
Rise up, women, so they will be free. Rise up, women, so they will be free. Oh, wake up, men, and cherish your lovers. Wake up, men, and cherish
lovers.
Wake up, men, be examples to your sons. Wake up, men, be examples to your son. Oh, rise up, people, wake up to your beauty. Rise up, people, wake up to your beauty. Rise up, people, and celebrate your lives. Rise up, people, and celebrate your life. Oh, rise up, people, and celebrate your lives. Rise up, people, and celebrate your lives. Yeah. I mean, those are a bunch of simple lines.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And simple. It doesn't have, you know, songs do not have to be complicated or with a lot of words. So, yay. Before we introduce, I just have a little, did people go to yoga?
Yes.
Did you? Yes. Was it great?
It was awesome.
Yay. Okay. So I have just a little centering thing. Try not to fall asleep because you just ate lunch.
Yeah.
So you can close your eyes if you like and adjust your position so that you're upright but relaxed. Feet on the floor if it's comfortable. And don't worry if it's not perfect. It's just good enough for this moment. Now we'll take a couple of deep breaths just to center. And then you can just let your breath continue as it will, if it's deep or shallow. You know, we can always trust our breath. It's been there pretty much our whole lives, taking care of us. So bring your attention to your body now. Feel your feet on the floor, the chair beneath you. Feel your back touching the chair, your arms, maybe on your legs, wherever they are. Notice your clothing touching your skin. As much as possible, let go of any tension in your face, your jaw, your shoulders. Just let the chair support you. Just rest in your body. If you notice any judging or critical thoughts, just let them pass by like clouds in the endless sky. There's no need to believe them or grab onto them or push them away. Just let them flow on by. Just return to noticing what is happening right now. Let a sense of gratitude for this life come to you. This life is a gift. This moment will never come again. Let a sense of gratitude arise for this body you live in, for everything it has done for you for all these years. It is your home in this world. We put our bodies through so much, and still they are faithful. They continue to do their very best for us. We judge them so harshly when really they are marvels and miracles. So let gratitude for your body arise gently. As you let your breath flow with ease, feel the gratitude for the chance to be here, to take a break from your regular lives. Now expand your awareness to the other beings around you, in this room, in this valley. This moment will never come again. This place, this room, these people, this afternoon. These two are precious bodies, precious lives, sharing the space with you in this moment. Let a sense of gratitude for community arise in you. Let gratitude arise for the divine creative power within you. We are so blessed to be here. And when it feels right, you can let your eyes open. Thanks for coming. It's great to see you. So quickly, well, actually, it won't have to be that quick. It's not a huge group. If we could just go around and say our names, and how about like one thing you noticed so far today, like literally one sentence. So I noticed, my name's Linda. I use she and her, and I noticed when I got up this morning, I noticed that half of my window was covered with snow, and it hadn't been before. Well, nice noticing, people. Okay, we're going to start with another song that we can do together. Oh, no, actually, I'm going to do a little, sorry. I'm just kind of riffing here. Just as far as songwriting, I mean, have people here ever tried a song? Excellent, okay, yeah. Okay, I just wanted to say, you know, you don't have to consider yourself a writer. As long as you know basically how to write or how to use words at all, you're welcome here. And you don't have to be a musician either, you know. It could turn into a poem. It could just be something that's fun to, you know, and with the whole melody thing and whatever, I can help you with that at the session tomorrow if you're able to come. And, you know, songwriting is really, it's like just because I've written a lot of songs, I have no more knowledge and wisdom than you do in each of your bodies about what your story is and what's important. So there's no, I just want you to know that, you know, I'm more a facilitator, not a teacher. I'm just kind of trying to give you ideas. So, if you have questions, call out. And I was like, call? What the heck? God, I don't know. It's like the older I get, the more like weird words come out of my mouth. I said something like I stayed up really early. Somebody said, I said, yeah, I'm really tired. I stayed up so early. And I'm like, what? Anyway, so, yeah. See if there's anything else I want to say. Oh, yeah, I kind of mentioned this last night briefly at the intro or afternoon, whatever it was. Just the story that we tell about ourselves. You know, there's one kind of story, which is the stories we want to tell about our lives and, you know, maybe make up stories. You know, every song has some story in it, even if it's just a feeling. But then there's another concept of story, which has been super helpful to me, and that's the stories that we tell ourselves about ourselves and our lives. And a lot of times, they're really destructive and not and unhelpful. So it's, you know, what I would hope that people would be able to just even, you know, ponder a little this weekend is just thinking about what, you know, what is the story that you tell yourself about what's happened in your life or where you're going or failures or successes, and be able to kind of look at it, you know, like a sculpture where you kind of see that angle and then you go like, oh, I didn't notice that. And just be able to kind of free it. And I have a little thing that I found from a book called Pathways to Possibility, Transforming Our Relationship with Ourselves, Each Other, and the World. So this is just an excerpt. Something truly extraordinary happens when you rewrite or upgrade a narrative that has had you humming along in a certain pattern for years and years. It's as though you've suddenly grown tall enough, finally, to see out the window where the riches of adult life lie in full view. Your perspective expands. Frustration may give way to empowerment. Your heart becomes more open and generous. Look for elements in situations that you avoid that have the ring of the child and lend themselves to being upgraded to adult. For instance, if you can't take criticism or believe you can't take criticism and find yourself dodging it at all cost, you might notice that your story implies there are people out there who want to put you down or punish you. That may have been true in the past. You may have had a critical parent or sibling or been subject to a harsh education, but to keep living within the electric fence of your life, I can't take criticism, leaves you a victim in a drama about malevolent authority. So an example of that could be that what you are labeling as criticism is really a friend's bumbling but well-intentioned way of supporting you, or a partner's attempt to clear the air so that you can approach each other more easily. So, and I can totally relate to that. So keep at this exploration of your story until you are no longer the hero or the victim. So it's not like everything went well and I'm nothing but amazing and I cannot ever be criticized. And, you know, every criticism just slices you open because you believe it. So anyway, so let's do our little song. So if you could stand up. So here's another kind of song, a movement song, which is really fun. You know, kids love it, but so do adults secretly. Yeah. They secretly love it. It's really fun in church, too. And if adults are going to feel weird about it, then it's kind of fun to have the kids teach it. You know, and then you're like, oh, cute, it's a kid's song. And it's not really, but anyway, just in case I might forget the words. I've just been digging up songs that, you know, I haven't done forever, so it's been kind of fun, but I don't know them all the way anymore. There we go. So this one's kind of silly. And it goes like this. If you've ever felt stressed in the real world, or felt like you just can't do quite enough. You're always falling short. So the first part's call response. So I'll show you how it goes. It's very serious. We keep on pushing forward, but sometimes it feels like we're slipping back. Try that. We keep on pushing forward, but sometimes it feels like we're slipping back. Yeah, and then I sing, yet, yet in the beauty of the earth, we will find our rest. Try that. Yet in the beauty of the earth, we will find our rest. And then the most important part of the song is, we keep on pushing forward, but sometimes it feels like we're slipping back. We keep on pushing forward, but sometimes it feels like we're slipping back. Yet in the telling of our truth, God will give us rest, or we will find our rest either way. Yet in the telling of our truth, we will find our rest. But we keep on pushing forward, but sometimes it feels like we're slipping back. We keep on pushing forward, sometimes it feels like we're slipping back. Yet in the silence of our prayer, we will find our rest. Yet in the silence of our prayer, we will find our rest. It's always great doing the last one, and then you don't have to, you just rest. Okay. And the nice thing about a song like that, too, is, you know, you can, like, make up a million of those. I got, like, 12, you know. Yet in the kindness that we share, yet in the lifting of our song. So it's just fun to use with different groups, add different things in. Okay, so anyone interested in a tiny bit of my story?
Yeah.
I shouldn't ask that, because what if somebody goes, no? I'm foisting it upon you. So some of my story is I grew up with a mom who was a piano teacher and very involved in music, organist at the church and accompanist and stuff like that. And everybody had to take piano and then choose another instrument. I played violin and, you know, neither here nor there, just sort of expected it to be there. And then in high school, I think it was, I don't know, for some reason I decided one day, I'm going to write a song. I mean, I'm just going to see. And it was around Christmas, and for some reason I was just thinking about what it must have been like for Mary to be, you know, to be so young and to be both having, you know, a human baby and also, you know, having this concept of like, and there's God in my body, and who is this child going to be? You know, what does that mean? That he's whatever the angel said, the Christ, the Son of God. And also maybe some premonition of what might happen, you know, what might happen to this child, because we know what did happen. And just all that, you know, Mary kept that pondering in her heart. I think that was the thing that made me kind of go, yeah, what did she ponder? So anyway, so I was like excited about my song, and I, you know, told my mom, you know, hey, you want to hear my song? I wrote a song. And she said, yeah. And so I started, well, I sang the song for her, and her first reaction, actually her only reaction, was, I don't remember the exact words, but it was very clear, what she said was, how dare you? How dare you take on the place of Mary, the mother of God? Like, are you kidding me, you little, you know? pipsqueak. You know, I mean, it was just crushing. And, you know, who knows what she really said. But to me, you know, I was very sensitive just by nature and just. So anyway, later I wrote another song. I mean, I must have had some kind of power to kind of go, I'm going to do it again. So I wrote a song and I played it for my brother, who, you know, was my oldest brother. I'm the youngest, and he was 8 years older, still is. And I played it for him, and the only thing he said was, you know, the first line is exactly like this other song. You know, like, I know. So that was my introduction to being vulnerable with my music. And, you know, whatever. So I went to college, and I wanted to be in this big fancy choir, and I tried out for it, and, you know, they put me on kind of like hold, you know, like, we have one more spot, but I don't know if you're quite the person we need. And then, you know, so I waited and waited and came back and sang again for them, and then they didn't pick me, and I was just crushed. So then what I did was I, you know, decided, well, I'm going to go to the coffee shop at school, you know, at college, and I'm going to start playing my stuff or whatever I want to play. And that was really fun. So I was glad that this had happened. Well, then the next year I got into the choir, and the director came to me and said, "Nah, I hear that you've been in, you know, singing this folk music, and I think you need to stop for your voice and stuff like that." You know, I was like, "No, no, you rejected me, and I can do what I want." So that was another, you know, thing I had to kind of power through, and then after college, I, you know, played music with a few different, you know, duos or different groups, and, you know, moved all over and blah blah blah. Went to graduate school, did some research in French Canada, and got married, had a kid, that kind of thing. But when I was like 55. I had struggled all my life. In fact, I just remembered this yesterday, that when I lived at Holden, it was 1982, when I lived here, I remember thinking about, if I ever write the story of my life, I'm going to call it Beating Back Chaos. I mean, I was like 23, and that was my concept of my life. I mean, hello. So when I was 55, I was diagnosed with bipolar 2. And, you know, which is kind of the milder but still awful form of bipolar. And I was given medication, which miraculously did not give me any side effects and really kind of lifted this part of my personality that I had always thought was like my badness, you know? It's like I am a defective, bad person because I can't control this aspect of my life, you know, the chaos and the anger and the whatever, you know, the too muchness. And so it was really great to have that lifted in some way. But then my story was, my whole life has been wasted. You know what I mean? Because I could have done this and I could have done that. And what if I hadn't had that fear? And, oh. Then on top of that, I had, you know, all the habits that I'd gotten into for 55 years to deal with it, you know, to be afraid of people or, you know, not, you know, come out. Or I'd have, you know, I'd want to make a CD and then I would lose. I just couldn't do it because I was too, you know, so it was a lot of, you know, and now I'm trying to like re-look at my story and kind of go, okay, what if I just erased all that and looked at, you know, wow, I really did a lot of stuff and loved a lot of people, even when I had this crushing thing on me. So, you know, there was some life force that just was like, I am not going to be smashed. You know, come at me, bro. Give me your best. So, you know, I'm trying really hard at this point, because it wasn't that long ago, to retell that story, you know. And now that my daughter's just launching from college and my parents are just dying, you know, it's a big story time. Anyway, I don't know why I'm telling you all that. But, you know, it helps to hear someone's story, because you would never know, you know, until you... Anyway, so I have a song about that, you know, well, I have several songs about that old, you know, anguishy, what does it mean, which I won't go into now, but let's try brainstorming a little bit about songs.